Lesson today is not in your notes. We want to deal with the subject of embryology, the wonders, I call it, of embryology, and especially the reproduction of life in the fetus. It can be spelled either F-O-E-T-U-S or F-E-T-U-S, the fetus, the developing embryo of human life. And we want to take a text for this one. It's so remarkable. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. I wish you'd follow with me in the Authorized Version. I'm going to read from Rotherhand's. I want you to see the beauty of the language. And we'll also paraphrase from other translations and from the lexicon. I want you to see the beauty of this portion and the force of it. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. For thou didst possess thyself of my reins. This word possess is claim as your own in the middle voice. This is the oversight of the germplasm of life from conception to birth. Thou didst possess as thine own my reins, controlling it. Thou didst weave me together in the womb of my mother. It's a peculiar word in the Hebrew, this weaving. It has the idea of bringing every part to bear at the right time, at the right place, into where there was a development of the fetus. I thank thee in that fearfully was my being distinguished. This is very beautiful. Made distinct is the Hebrew. Was made distinct. The Authorized Version has fearfully and wonderfully made. My substance, or my whole frame, or bones, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. When I was skillfully figured, or knit together, or as the Jerusalem Bible gives it, was woven in together in an intricate pattern. All that's in the Hebrew expression. The Jerusalem Bible is a Catholic version, and of course it's completely haywire where they want it to be. And all mixed up to where they leave out stuff, they go according to the higher criticism and all the rest, but sometimes they have a tremendous translation, as the confraternity version does. It's a Catholic version. I like both of them in places. The idea is in secret or hidden, obscure place, God was weaving together a pattern in this whole fetus. The days that they should be fashioned, while yet there were none of them. It shows the planning and the numbering by God. And here's the real source of the DNA tape. The programming of the whole life history from conception to death of every living organism. But in a unique way, with a human being. God from conception through moderation through parturition planned the whole thing. Every book that I have read after it, I've got this one from Yale University, completely evolutionary, yet he confesses his complete ignorance of how conception and moderation can be carried on for the 9-month period to fully develop the fetus and do it so remarkably, but yet so absolutely perfectly. I'm not amazed at a few imperfect babies born. What amazes me is the billions that are born normal, considering 6,000 years of sin and disease and messing around with the whole process. The abnormal baby is abnormal. It's not the normal development. God has so indelibly, so intricately fixed the whole system of reproduction, not only in humans, but in all living organisms. Remember, any organism would become extinct without replication, without reproduction, accurately, after its kind. Now, the psalmist has given God the credit. These others say, we don't know how. I do. The psalmist tells you how. God has the oversight in the development of the fetus and the reproduction of human life. God is working out a plan of the ages. He said so. Ephesians 3:11. Which he planned for his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Rotherham's translation of that too, by the way. According or in agreement with a plan of the ages which he planned for his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that plan is dependent upon reproduction. Or it wouldn't be carried out at all. So God has not only fixed the whole process of reproduction, but the psalmist says he keeps in his own control the oversight of it, the controlling factor of it, in spite of how man is trying to mess it up. From the union of the two cells, the ovum and the spermatozoa, zoom, in conception, we shall see how wonderful this conception is. Again, you have that same idea that you have in the baby chick with the cone over its snout and can't get out of the egg without it. The spermatozoa could not penetrate the ovum at all. It has a tough membrane on it. Without secreting a certain enzyme that dissolves a hole in the skin of the ovum, the egg. Usually when you have twins, if they're not identical twins, two spermatozoa penetrates the ovum. But there would be no reproduction at all without this enzyme. Ain't Mother Nature grand? That's her pointed little head. How could it be an accident? Or how could it be senseless? Now, there are a lot of enzymes, and they've named 650 of them in the human body. Name them. Usually with A-S-E on the end. Almost every time you see A-S-E in any kind of genetic book or any kind of biological book, it's one of the enzymes. And they say that there are probably millions of them in nature. I have an article here on science in the Bible on enzymes. And I've got a genetic book that's used at Caltech. I like it very much, except for its evolution. But I'll quote from him one or two times in today's lesson when I possibly get it to it. Every enzyme has a chemical reaction upon different substances and does a remarkable job, we shall see, as we come to one or two of them. Dr. Constance, Arthur C. Constance, in his book, Virgin Birth, I'm quoting from an article that I have that was reproduced in the Science Research newsletter. I want to read this little part that he gives right here. He said, the whole multiplication of living cells by division for a lifetime, some 10,000 to 100,000 times, each new life in the fetus begins with a union of two seeds, spermatozoon and ovum, male and female. The union of the two forms a first complete cell of the new individual. These begin to divide into two cells, the two into four, the four into eight, the eight into 16, and the 16 into 32. And then stops that particular kind of division. Here's God ordering the whole outfit, Psalms 139, in the day that they should be formed, in the time of their formation. This is called by almost all geneticists the germplasm. It's no bigger than the original cell of the ovum. So it's divided now five times until there are 32 cells in it, but it's the same size. This is the germplasm, and it will remain constant somewhere in the human body. And now it starts divisions in body cells. Now all of these first germplasms are identical. And it's the seed plot for the whole life organism. Now it'll start to divide, each cell will divide, millions and millions of times, until you get the, I had first down here 26,000 billion. Now almost everybody agrees that there are between 50 and 60 or 70,000 billion. Now 1,000 billion is a quadrillion. You know, there are thousands, hundreds, thousands, millions, billions, trillions, then quadrillions. Later in apologetics, we'll take up these French connotations. Astronomy had to use them, and so does biology. But they will continue to divide, but now here's the amazing thing. While the first 32 cells in the germplasm is identical, all of a sudden something is triggered in this germplasm that from now on out make them, as they divide beyond the germplasm, they will divide into all the different kinds of cells of the body. No two organs have the same cells doing the same job. The cells will grow to make up hair, skin, bones, eye jelly, organs, all kinds of different cells. All the muscle cells are different. The nerve cells are different. Heart cells are different. You see, each one of these little cells is triggered in the DNA tape by the germplasm to make a certain kind of cell, to make a certain kind of organ. And it continues to make that organ till it has enough and then automatically quits. You see, here's the problem. If man can make a cell that looks practically just like one of the body, or a living cell. Now, there are two things that we can't make in it. One's life. You can't make it live. And you can't program it. Every cell is programmed to do a job. How long to do it, how much to do it, what time to do it, and when to quit. If it didn't, you'd just keep on having eyes all over your body. You'd be sitting on your eyes. And I hate to think if it was programmed to make this nose, if it wasn't programmed to stop, what kind of a nose I'd have, like Pinocchio. And probably have to keep the door out open while I'm talking to you. To make room for my proboscis, my nasal protuberance. You know, this is marvelous. I'm glad on my ears it stopped when it did. You said Bragg's an elephant-eared rascal. You see, that's comical, but it could, if it were accident, why not? I could have one ear on this side that big and this one over here that big. Do you ever stop to think how marvelous this thing works until my ears are just about the same? My eyes are just about the same. I don't have one arm dragging the ground, this one up here. And I'm so glad my legs are the same length. It makes walking a whole lot easier. We take all this for granted. Psalms 139 says God planned it that way. I like that a whole lot better than it started with a big bang. An explosion made my body just like it is. Let me tell you something. If an explosion had made this body, you could have gathered me up from all over the mountainside. But it wouldn't have looked like this. It wouldn't have worked like this. An accident doesn't make order anywhere. It makes disorder. You see how foolish they can get. I want to come back to my original notes. I was given this from Constance. I wish I could quote some more from him. I want to come back to this whole idea of moderation. Moderation is the 9 months development of this. These two single cells join now into one it is a living individual when these two join together. From there on out until the 9 months are over, the whole period of parturition, until birth or parturition, it was set out by God in the human being 6,000 years ago from a single fertilized cell to the finished organism. All arranged in intricate, careful, exact relationship to each other to make up the completed human organism. All the fearfully and wonderfully made weaving together of my body with its soulish activity, with its spiritual nature, it's all somewhere wrapped up in the DNA tape. Every living thing on earth starts life as a single, tiny, living cell called protoplasm. One of the most wonderful substances on earth. 1/125th of an inch across. The human ovum is barely visible to the naked eye. But you can see it. Maybe with glasses on, most of us. I used to be nearsighted, and I could read all these notes without my glasses. Now it doesn't look so hard. I have to get back here. My eyes are hardening. But throughout all the embryological stage, development of the fetus from conception to birth, as it grows by divine plan. Set out by God, as Psalm said, and followed faithfully for 6,000 years. Now, every living thing on earth then starts life with a single little teeny cell. The vast mystery is how this tiny cell, containing the 60 elements of the dirt of the earth, carries in it the whole future history of the finished adult living organism. The vast differentiation of organs and parts and functions and shapes and kinds of cells to do a different kind of a job. The one fertilized human cell contains nearly 100,000 genes and 860 different kinds of enzymes. And carries in it the whole future history of the finished adult living organism. In the DNA tape to build the whole human body and all of its peculiarities and all of its inherited characteristics and all of its self-determination. This single fertilized cell or ovum has a nucleus or chromatin, an outside protoplasm, or cytoplasm. The nucleus is made up of chromosomes, which are the most wonderful part of the whole deal, with an estimated 100,000 genes in each one of the chromosomes. It wasn't seen, men guessed at it, it wasn't seen until they developed the 300,000 power electron microscope. I've got some copied out of National Geographic pictures of these with the 300,000 power electron microscope. Within this DNA tape, this nucleus of the chromosome, there is the sequence determined of all future development. All human living cells has now seen to be 46. When I first got these up, A.I. Brown in his book and several others, and his latest books changed it, because they didn't have the 300,000 power microscope. They used to say 48. I had to change all of my notes. 48 chromosomes in each cell. There are 46. Because there were two of them, two sets, the two Y chromosomes in the male spermatozoa, are almost like this. There's a cleavage in between. I meant to bring you a picture of them. Microscope shows them. But they're not one. They're two. I mean, they're not two. They're one. Excuse me. Instead of 48, they're 46. They thought these two were just two joined together and were separate. But they're not. They're single. 46 chromosomes. Now, I want you to follow me. I'm not going to give any real hard stuff here. I love to study this. I have a complete book on genetics that I quoted already from once, and I'll quote from again if I get time, used at Caltech. It's a complicated book, and he admits in one place that this development here could not be by without some kind of intelligence, and at the end he says, but it's always. He said, we're not going to have any supernatural thing here at all. It's all done by natural selection, without any plan or purpose. You talk about willful ignorance. This single fertilized cell or ovum multiplies by division until this germplasm is finished in 32 of them, and then turns around, seals up the whole germplasm, and starts to make all the differentiation. In this chromosome, though, are all the hereditary characteristics. in what is called genes, G-E-N-E. The human has 46, the monkey has 54, the dog has 22, the cat has 36, the horse has 38, the fruit fly has 4, a crayfish has 200, some insects have over 1,000. How could one grow out of another one? Even the gestation period on everything in nature is different. And every one of them in multiples of 7. Every one. Our God is a God of order. Let me give you an illustration. Here's why man couldn't have come from a monkey if he'd wanted to. A mouse has 21 days, or 3 weeks, or 3 times 7. A rabbit and a rat have 28 days, or 4 times 7, or 4 weeks. A cat has 56 days, or 8 times 7, or 8 weeks. A dog has 63 days, or 9 times 7, or 9 weeks. A lion has 98 days, or 14 times 7, or 14 weeks. A sheep has 147 days, or 21 times 7, or 21 weeks. A fox, 48 days. A hen, 21 days. A duck, 42 days. A polar bear, 273 days. A seal, 324 days. An elephant, 364 days. And so on. I got a whole bunch more down. Did you know this is one of the best ways to tell species? Because one of the best ways to tell species, or different species, is fertilization with each other. Not some one wears his hair this way, another wears his hair that way. That would make a species. There'd be all kinds of species in here. There's only a few of you have sense enough to wear your hair like I do. But how in the world could the chromosomes and the genes change in a monkey to make a human? The large ape has 35 weeks. The small monkey has 22 weeks. The skunk has 6 weeks. Where did all this variety arise? That's in every bit of the DNA tape, in every cell in the body. The small monkey, I'll give here, has 54. Let's see, the big monkey has, these are chromosomes. The monkey has 54, the large ape has 35 weeks, and the small monkey 22 weeks of gestation. God says he wrote them in his book before there was a one of them. That's divine plan, divine intention. And notice, as we went through Rotherham's, he wrote them as to what would be there and when the day that they should be made, while there was not any of them. Now notice that. And the completion of it. According to what kind of a animal God wanted. Now back to the human again, embryology. This multiplication by splitting in rapid until the complete organism is formed. And every cell in it has the whole life history in the DNA tape of that whole organism. The whole thing. Here's why, and I have no doubt that they might be able to do it. And it wouldn't amaze me if they did. I wouldn't have a bit of trouble. For many animals can do it. The DNA tape actually in the organism should be able to grow a new limb. If you lose an eye, you should be able to replace it. There are several animals, if you catch, they will loosen their tail. If you catch them by the tail, and you've lost them. But they'll grow another tail. Almost any lizard, a chameleon, you can cut the tail off a chameleon, and he'll grow another one. He'll grow another leg. I doubt they'll grow another head if you cut it off. But they're saying now that the human body has the mechanism built into it to replace, as it did when it did from the beginning. Every organ and every part of the body. It'd be wonderful, but I don't know if they can get down that close or not. It wouldn't surprise me. There are genes spinning now to make all kinds of new combinations. Maybe someday they can take a part of the old organ and split the gene in it and start the mechanism up again. And of course, I don't know if they've got the stopper on it yet. Cut it off. It might start a new heart in you, and first thing you know, the thing gets bigger and bigger, and you get bigger and bigger until you blow up. Only God could work this out, and you can see that a woman could not evolve from the man. And almost every evolutionist believes that they came up on different lines, and all of a sudden he looked at her and said, "Well, you must be my wife." And called her a woman. For every cell in every woman is different from every cell in every man. Everyone. Here's why transvestitism is impossible. The true hermaphrodite, in the sense that he can change sex by a sexual operation. It's impossible. There is a soulish femininity in a man and a soulish masculinity in a lot of women. But their body gives them away. They're either male or female by every cell in them. Every cell in a woman has 46 perfectly matched X chromosomes. Perfectly matched. Every male has 44 perfectly matched X cells. And here's the amazing thing. Every man has 2 Y cells. They're shaped, they call them that because they're Y shaped, and the others are X shaped. Under the 200,000 power electronic microscope. I like Constance when he says this: God could not have made woman out of a, could not have made man out of a female cell without an act of creation. Because he would have no Y cells in him at all. Here's why, even in nature, unless there's something that takes place to change it, like in a beehive, the working bees are all neutered females. Have no power of reproduction or producing eggs at all. They're drones. And the same thing holds true in the honeybee as holds true in humans. But when God took a bone out of Adam and the marrow in it, he took these chromosomes out of Adam, and around those chromosomes he built a woman. In other words, if God had made the woman first and taken a bone out of her to make a man, Christ could not have died for our sins. Well, he'd not have my nature. I know our modern feminists don't like it. This whole deal that they've got going today. It seems like modern women don't want to be women. And modern men don't want to be men. It's unisex. They're trying to dress and look like a woman, and the woman's trying to dress like a man, and neither one's satisfied with the place where God put them. I think that a real, true woman wants to be a woman and not change herself into some kind of a freak man. And I know good and well any man who is a man at all doesn't want to look like a freak man. To put one earring in, I had a guy coming to my store one time wanted to buy one earring. I said, I don't sell one. I sell pairs of earrings. If you've got a boyfriend, you can give him the extra. That's been quite a while. You got two of them? I guess they weren't quite converted over to femininity yet. Just one. But now also they have these hairdos that go up here in psychedelic colors. Now, it's not sour grapes that I don't wear my hair like that. I wouldn't if I had good hair. Here's why Christ could be virgin-born, but the miracle of it all was the Holy Spirit superimposed upon her his holiness so that that holy thing was born of her. Our time is fast passing. I want to quote from Roy D. Owen of Caltech in his book General Genetics. I want to quote two places from it. I want to quote from page 2 and 245. I want to show you how he makes a complete 180-degree flip-flop. Just because he could not give up evolution and didn't want to believe in creation. In his book, General Genetics, G-E-N-E-T-I-C-S, page 2, and I quote, it is apparent that there must be a governing principle. No, he didn't capitalize it. He capitalized nature. This governing principle is in low caps. He didn't want anybody to think that he believes in any supernatural agency, because we're quoting 245. There must be a governing principle that regulates the continuity of the life forms. He says the complex embryonic foldings, the growth and differentiation of development can in no sense be events occurring at random. They require unusual, precise coordination in time and space of normal life cycle to be completed, end of quotation. He says it can't be random. Now, after 445 pages of stumble-bumming along, mentioning evolution 125 times, and given the old recapitulation theory a couple times, he finally winds up on page 445, changing his mind completely. Quotation marks. So it's 448. 458. Otherwise, all right. Page 458 of General Genetics, Ray D. Owen of Caltech, California Institute of Technology. And I quote, it must be clear, and I put a question mark, that to explain adaptive evolution, we need not postulate either a teleological mechanism, that is God, or supernatural, or any inheritance of adaptive characteristics in directive fashioning of every part. He has said before, you've got to have some kind of controlling principle. It can't be random. Now he says, it can't be any controlling principle. It has to be random. Why? He doesn't want God. He's got to omit God. No room for him at all. I want to just give one little thing on enzymes in our closing. Dr. C. Theodore Schwartz, professor at the University of New York, in his book, The Marvel of Man's Beginning, says there are over 600 octodecillion. An octodecillion is 6 followed by 59 ciphers. There are over, he said, 600 octodecillion possible combinations of amino acids. Because science has determined that there are at least 100,000 different amino acids. Amino acids are one of the most wonderful things in the universe, or most chemical reactions. Man really doesn't know how they work. They just know how they work, not why they work, nor what causes them to work. And he calls them the building blocks of all tissue in all living things. And I quote, each living cell of the human body is reacted on by the amino acids. As the blood laden with amino acids bathes each cell, the cell takes out of the blood only its own particular amino acid out of the 650. Needed for its own particular kind of life. It's going to make a bone, a muscle, a nerve, an eye. It's selected. You'd think it had a computer. It will never take the wrong one. All the other 649 are bypassed. They keep on going through the bloodstream and through the lymph fluid. That little cell will selectively check out just exactly the amino acid that works on it and the particular thing it's trying to make. And no other. So to build hair cell, eye jelly, skin, bone, muscles, nerves, brain. So a fish cell out of a fish will take the amino acid to build a fish tissue. Or bird tissue, or an animal tissue. Here's one of the greatest, he says, mysteries to embryology. Since all cells show a remarkable specificity, that is to pick out just exactly what it wants, living cells always divide into living cells of its own kind to start its organ, heart, skin, bone, and all the rest. White cells always divide into white cells, kindred cells, kindred cells into kidney cells, so they're part of the body. Why doesn't the original fertilized ovum repeat itself right on through the quadrillions of cells in the human body? But they don't. Why all this, as Psalms 139 says, determine exactly when, where, why, what, how of every cell in the body. How in the world can it be? Can it be an accident? the best science on the face of the earth in embryology. Is God saying He created everything after His kind? We saw in anthropology, you couldn't have after His kind if evolution were true. There wouldn't be any demarcation, there would be no species at all. It'd be a hodgepodge of all kinds of mixed up individuals. Well, it ought to be some half monkey and half people. They say a dinosaur came from a chicken because they found one little dinosaur with a, looked like a chicken mark in the stone where they found it. And they said, well, he must come from a chicken. Why don't you have a half chicken and a half dinosaur? It just doesn't work that way. After His kind, I think 16 times. That's still wonderful. Still works. You do not plant turnips and expect to get strawberries and cream or dill pickles. It doesn't work. Why this fixity? If it's all random. Randomness never gives fixity, as anybody who ever shot dice would know. If you roll a 9 on the dice, you may work all day and not get another 9. Or you may get a 9 the next shot. This is called the law of probability. You couldn't have this fixness in life if it were all an accident. You're dismissed.